Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to address the question of what's wrong with ego? Why is ego such a bad thing? If you've been following along with Actualized.org content, you see certain themes, these overarching narratives developing and patterns that you're seeing within personal development, these larger patterns. And one of these patterns that should be becoming quite obvious to you is the role that ego plays in your life and in personal development. But I want to expand on this notion because it's a very, very important thing and it really cannot be overstated. Sometimes people wonder like, well, Leo, you rag on the ego a lot. You talk about the ego as though it's a very bad and evil thing. And what's wrong with ego? I mean, what's wrong with being selfish? So what if I'm biased towards myself? So what if I'm trying to improve my self-image? So what if I'm trying to build myself up? And so what if I'm just pursuing success blindly? Isn't that what's going to make me the happiest? So what if I'm building up my identity? So what if I have all these belief systems and structures in place? So what? I mean, look, my life is going well and people around me are doing the same stuff and it seems to be getting better and better. And isn't that what personal development is about? It's about building up the ego. So let's really investigate this issue. What I'm going to claim is that the ego is the cause of the majority of the unhappiness you have in your life. And that what's wrong with it is very simple. It's the exact same mechanism of wrongness as when you decide to spit into the wind. So what's wrong with spitting into the wind? Quite obvious. The mechanism clearly backfires on you, and if you spit into the wind, it comes back into your face. And this happens rather quickly and immediately, so you'd have to be a total fool not to see what's wrong with spitting into the wind. But with ego, it's a little bit trickier than that because the ego likes to operate through self-deception and subtlety and sneakiness and counterintuitiveness. And also because the consequences of ego are subtle and they're spread out over time. So imagine, if you will, that you decide to spit into the wind one day, and you do, but the wind, rather than hitting you right back in the face with your spit, it takes your spit all the way across the world. It rides on the wind, your spit rides on the wind for a whole month. It circles around to South America, to Africa, to Antarctica, to the North Pole and Europe and all these places. And then finally it comes back and hits you in the face. And that takes a month for that whole cycle to complete. But see, by the time it does hit you in the face, you don't say, oh yeah, I spit into the wind a month ago and now it's hit me in my face. You don't do that. What you do is you say, oh, someone spit in my face. Who spit in my face? Who is that fucker? That's what you do. That's what the ego does. And therein lies the whole problem. That's why we have to really go in there and inspect what's going on. We have to take a look at these long-range consequences. Now, before I get any further, I need to clarify what I mean by ego. So what is this term that we're talking about? It's nothing other than what you believe you are right now. It's not some aspect of you, some evil, nefarious aspect of you. It's not arrogance. This goes way beyond just arrogance and the common day usage of the word ego, which basically says, you know, if we say that someone is egotistical, we say that they're selfish. What I'm talking about is a much more expanded understanding of selfishness, which actually includes your very existence as a human being. Just by the very fact that you are sitting there right now and your entire life is revolving around you and your existence, that is ego. So this thing right now that I'm talking to a thing, aren't I? We hold you as some sort of thing, a human being, a creature, an animal, whatever you feel like you are, that soul that you think inhabits your mind, maybe. Maybe that's how you think of yourself. Or maybe you just think of yourself as just a body and a mind and a brain. That right there, that is ego. It's the entire identification that you've constructed from the very basic identification of just identifying with your mind and body and brain, and maybe soul, if you identify with that, and your very basic needs for food, water, and shelter so that you can keep surviving in this existence. So that's the very basic foundation. But then all the add-ons that you like to add on to that. So it's how you look at yourself. It's your self-image. It's how cool you think you are. It's all the problems you think you have in your life. It's all the positive characteristics that you ascribe to yourself. It's all the beliefs that you hold. It's the personal story you have of how you grew up and where you went to school and who your parents were and how you're connected to all that. That's your entire identity. Now, most people think that this is just taken for granted as like, oh, well, this is how life is. This is what is physically true. But that's not what's physically true. That is ideas in your mind and various images that have been wedded together in a rather arbitrary way, but to you, because it is you, it seems unquestionable. And what I'm claiming is that that entire identity structure is the problem. And that's what I refer to as the ego. So let's start going deeper and deeper and actually getting into the specifics of how the ego backfires in your life and how it creates much of the suffering in your life. Because until you start to become aware of this, then what I'm just talking about is way too abstract and it doesn't seem practical. So to make this practical, we can take a look at what's wrong with ego from another perspective. One way to answer that question is to say, well, basically, what's wrong with ego is every single problem you have in your life and everything you hate about life. And I want to show you how that is. But to do that, first, we need to actually get clear about what you hate about life. So what I'd like you to do in a second is you're going to pause this recording and you're going to do a very quick assignment for me. You're going to pull out a piece of paper and a pen. You're going to pause this and you're going to make a list, a quick list. Just spend a few minutes on this. Make a very quick list of the top 20 things, let's say, that you don't like about life. Whatever that might be, you know, I hate my parents and my spouse is nagging me and my kids are doing something wrong and my boss is doing something wrong and I don't have enough money, all this kind of stuff. So whatever that is for you. So go ahead and pause this recording and do that assignment. Okay, welcome back. So you have your little list. Now your list might look something like this. This is a sample list. It's not my private list. This is just a sample example that I came up with. So it might look something like, I hate having money problems. I hate my job. My spouse annoys me. My kids are getting bad grades in school. I can't sleep well. I feel depressed sometimes. Even sometimes I have suicidal thoughts. I feel stressed and tired. I don't have time to myself. My boss is an idiot. My parents are creating problems for me because they're so stubborn and dogmatic. Government is corrupt. I'm scared of getting cancer. Losing weight is very difficult for me, and I don't like how I look. And in general, my life is difficult, and it's a struggle. It feels like an uphill battle all the time. So that's the list that I came up with, just as an example. Your list probably looks something similar to this. Now, here's the shocker. And here's something where you have to really open your mind and try to consider this from my perspective. What if all of this stuff on this list, your list, is the result of ego and is not an inherent facet of life? Let that sink in for a second. because most people, what they say is they just have kind of a sort of knee-jerk reaction. They just say, oh, no, Leo, that can't be the case. That can't be the case. This list of stuff that I hate about life, it's this way because this is how life is. And there's not much that we can do about it. This is just how life is, and we have to accept life exactly as it is. But consider that that's not the case. In fact, consider that that's a defense mechanism of the ego, if you say that. And that, in fact, life is not inherently that way. It only appears that way because you've been living your life with a very strong ego. And so this list of things is actually a list of the things that the ego creates for itself. This is a list of every backfiring consequence of the ego. This might seem a little far-fetched, because you might say, well, Leo, how is, you know, government being corrupt a consequence of my ego? Isn't that what you're saying? And how is it that, you know, my stubborn parents who don't want to do the right things, how they are you saying they're a consequence of my ego? Or how is it that the stress and tiredness that I have because I work two jobs full time, how is that a response and a consequence of my ego? Or the money problems I have, that's not related to my ego, is it? Is that what you're saying? And yes, that is what I'm saying. But you have to remember what I said earlier, is that the ego has subtle and sneaky long-range consequences. It's not simply a matter of A causes B, B causes C, and that's the end of the line. If you think of the consequences of ego as just following this very simple two or three step chain of consequences, or this chain of cause and effect, then it's not going to seem plausible to you what I'm saying. Instead, you have to think of it more of like A causes B, B causes C, C causes D, D causes E, F, G, all the way down the line to Z. And so there's a pretty long chain there. And what that requires is you actually honestly examining this chain to see what's really going on. So I want to help you to do that. And what I want to do is I want to give you a list of all the typical consequences of ego that happen in the average person's life. Your life, of course. And then it'll be your job to investigate further how exactly your ego is responsible for these consequences specifically in your life. Because I don't have time to go into each one of these. I actually sat down and originally I just wanted to create a list of all the bad stuff that results from ego. And the list ended up being huge. It's a huge list because the ego is responsible for so many negative things. Basically, in a nutshell, all your suffering in life. As a very simple rule of thumb, you can just say, where am I suffering in my life? Oh, okay, I'm suffering here? Okay, how did I do that? How did my ego do that? Oh, okay. And then you go and investigate, and you will eventually discover how the ego is doing that. But, see, for most people, that's so far-fetched that they can't even believe that it's possible, that they themselves are creating their own problems. So let's give you a little taste of this list. Firstly, fear and anxiety. This is pretty much all created by ego. Every single fear and anxiety that you've ever had in your life. Think about the significance of that. That's all related to your identity. Also, think about all the anger, bitterness, hatred, violence, and intolerance that you've encountered in your life. Especially the stuff that you've generated. So who are you angry at? Who are you bitter at? Who do you hate? Who have you even done violence to? And where are you intolerant in your life? All of that, pretty much almost all of it, is grounded in your identity and in your ego. And think about how much suffering that creates for you. Also, outrage and unfairness. Do you feel outraged sometimes? Do you feel like life is unfair, that people treat you unfairly? Well, that's pretty much a consequence of ego, your ego. Guilt and regret. Do you have deep regrets in your life? Do you feel guilty about doing stuff that you shouldn't have done or not doing stuff? Well, that's mostly all ego related. How about annoyances? Do you face annoyances in your life? The neighbors annoy you, the dog annoys you, the kids annoy you, your spouse annoys you. Believe it or not, that's very much tied with your ego. Criticism and blame. Pretty much all instances where you are critical of other people, you are negative about other people or situations, and you blame others. That's all connected to your ego. That stuff does not exist without ego. Emotional pain is largely ego created. Depression is very largely ego created. Dissatisfaction and disappointment with life. Do people disappoint you? Does your government disappoint you? Does your boss disappoint you? Are you just not able to find the fulfillment and contentment in life that you wanted to find? That's because of ego. Almost no other reason. Shyness and insecurity. Do you have that problem? Do you have confidence problems? Do you feel inauthentic? Do you feel like you sell yourself out, that you break your own word and break your own values and act out of integrity? What do you think that is? That's all a function of your identity. That's not inherent to life. How about not liking yourself? Do you not like yourself? Do you not like your personality? Or maybe you don't like your physical appearance. A lot of people think that not liking their physical appearance, that this has something to do with like, well, I'm not as beautiful or handsome as I thought I should be. It has nothing to do with that. It's all connected to your identity and to your ego. Think about how much suffering you've created in your life because you did not accept who you were psychologically as a personality, as a character, and who you are physically as this body sitting there right now. How about boredom, loneliness, and neediness? Do you have these problems? Think about all the times you were bored, lonely or needy in your entire life. What if I told you that all of that was a consequence of ego and it didn't have to be that way? That would be pretty significant, wouldn't it? How about stress and chronic fatigue? Do you suffer from those? Those are all ego created. There's no reason that life should be inherently stressful. And there's no reason you should always be fatigued. Addictions. Do you have addictions? Any addiction, I don't care what it is. Drugs, porn, sex, food, TV, alcohol, coffee, anything. This is all connected to your identity and to your ego. Sexual misconduct. Do you have that problem? Cheating. Do you have that problem? That's all ego created. How about lying, dishonesty, and the spreading of untruth? Every single lie you've ever made in your entire life, and every instance where you were dishonest, was pretty much related to your ego. Exploitative and manipulative behaviors. Think about how many of those you engage in and how much suffering they end up causing you in the long run. That's all connected to ego. There's no need to manipulate or exploit anybody without ego. How about relationship problems? Pretty much every single relationship problem ties back to ego. If people are leaving you, if people are being needy with you, if you're having quarrels and arguments, there's a lot of drama in your relationships, you don't know how to communicate in relationships, there's various fears inside your relationships, there's jealousy problems, sexual problems, all this stuff. Where do you think this is all grounded in? That's right, your ego. How about self-sabotaging behaviors? Do you have that problem? That is purely ego. How about money problems? Do you have money problems? Those are largely ego-created. Do you have motivation problems? Those are pretty much all ego-created. Do you have decisiveness problems? Are you indecisive? Are you afraid to make a choice? Do you make choices based on fear? What is that but ego? Do you have gender identity confusion? Like you're not sure how much of a man you are or how much of a woman you are or whether you even are a man or a woman. And you feel insecure about that. Well, what is that? That's pure ego. Are you working the wrong job or career? And you're staying stuck year after year after year in the wrong job and the wrong career, even though you should be moving on. Well, that's connected to your ego too. How about the inability to realize your dreams? If you have big dreams in life and you find yourself unable to move towards them over the long term, that's connected to your ego. How about the inability to realize the highest spiritual experiences possible in life? There are some amazing, profound, and deep spiritual experiences that are possible for you. Stuff that would bring you to your knees in tears of joy and bliss. And most people have never experienced something like this. Or if they have, maybe it was some random one-time event, and it's not something that happens consistently for them. And the only reason that is because of ego. Ego is the obstacle to the deepest spiritual experiences. Nothing else. How about the inability to love others? Having commitment issues. Being afraid to say, I love you. Being unable to be kind or compassionate towards other people in your life. Basically, not being able to be a benevolent force in the world. That's ego. That's the result of ego, all those problems. How about creative difficulties? Do you have difficulties as an artist? Do you struggle with yourself as an artist? Whether you paint, draw, make movies, music, whatever. That's all ego. That's ego fighting with itself, getting in its own way. How about feeling offended and self-righteous? Do you get offended easily? That's ego. How about dogma and ideology? Have you been tricked and seduced by various cults or ideological programs or schemes and then lost years of your life to that? That's ego. Obsessive thinking. That's the function of ego. Hurting loved ones. Have you accidentally, inadvertently hurt loved ones close to you, like your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, and so forth, and then later regretted it? Why did that happen? If you take a close look, it was because of ego. How about doing damage to other people? Maybe business partners, clients, and so forth. That's done because of ego. How about damage to the environment? If you've ever littered or polluted, that's a consequence of ego. And lastly on my list is dying a sorry death. You do realize that you, if you stay on the current track that you're on, the egotistical track, that you will die a very sorry death. Unless you're fortunate enough to die in like an instantaneous, fatal car crash or airplane crash, something like that, then chances are you're going to die kind of a slow death, where you're going to have time to contemplate and reflect on your life and your actions and behaviors. And what do you think you're going to feel on your deathbed if you're dying a slow death? You're going to realize all the egotistical things you've done in your life and how much of your life you've wasted and how many people you've hurt and just how miserable your entire life has gone. And you're going to perhaps, maybe you won't, but perhaps you're going to realize how all of this was the result of the ego. And that's going to create a lot of misery and suffering in your last moments of life, which is rather a shame. So that's the list. By no means is that the end of the list. You could certainly come up with more examples of how ego affects your life in negative ways that create suffering for you that you probably don't want to keep experiencing over and over and over and over again. So right now, I want you to take a look at your list, pull out your list of stuff that you said that you hated about life, and point your finger to that entire list, run your finger up and down that list, and just realize in your mind that all this stuff on this list, this is all related to your identity and to your ego. It's not just a consequence of life. It's a consequence specifically of how you choose to live your life and how attached you are to your sense of self and your sense of identity. And what I'm claiming is possible is to let go of these attachments, and then this list will dissolve. Slowly over time, items on the list will just dissolve out of your life, and then you'll get happier and happier and happier until you can dissolve the entire list, if you go that far. But also, let us not forget about the collective consequences of ego. So what I described so far is mostly personal consequences. So this is like the mechanism of you spitting in the wind and it coming straight back into your face. Obviously stupid, right? Obviously stupid to live your life that way. But let's also take a look at what happens on a societal level when we all live to indulge our egos. So firstly, and we're kind of taking a historical perspective here. So let's take a look through history at how ego has played itself out. Every single war in history can be traced back to ego. Also, genocide, conquering and extermination of other nations and peoples, and slavery. These can all be linked back to ego, working on a collective level. Same thing for scams, Ponzi schemes, and thefts. Same thing for rape and the abuse of children and women. Also, financial exploitation, capitalism, and communism. So all the negative effects of the capitalist system, the communist system, that you might have studied through history, or that you experience, for example, with capitalism still happening today, and it's really still in full force today, such as monopolies and businesses exploiting their customers and so forth. How about caste systems and power hierarchies? For example, like the Indian caste system, extremely oppressive caste system. And these sorts of caste systems have in one way or another existed for thousands of years all around the world. We're lucky in the 21st century, especially in the West here, that we really don't have that anymore. But think of how oppressive that was for thousands of years. How about all corruption, bribery, and nepotism that goes on in government? What is that but ego? How about religious intolerance, bigotry, and homophobia? Where does that come from? Ego. All the religious conflicts that have ever occurred in history have all been the result of ego. Because religion creates a very strong identity for you, and then you want to go out there and you want to fight and kill and do whatever in the name of preserving that identity structure, which is, by definition, the ego. How about historically the suppression of reason, science, and authentic spirituality? What does that come from? Again, that comes from ego. Egos protecting themselves and therefore needing to suppress science, reason, and authentic spirituality because these things are threatening to the ego. How about cults and intellectual exploitation that has occurred throughout the years and the centuries? That's related to ego. Cult leaders, what are they? They are egotists run amok. And the cult's followers, what are they? They are weak egos who need the protection of a leader. How about witch trials and scapegoating, or like the McCarthy trials of the 1950s and 60s? What is that? That's all ego. How about dictatorships, gangs and syndicates, the mafia, and all this kind of corrupt and abuses of power, corruption and abuse of power? Where did all this come from? Ego. How about political gridlock the extreme partisanship that exists in government these days. Where's that coming from? Ego. How about the oppression of human rights and civil liberties throughout pretty much all of history? What has been the source and the motivation for that? It's been ego. The ego needs to protect itself, and therefore, in so doing, it likes to oppress human rights and civil liberties. And lastly, how about the destruction of the environment, the destruction of the rainforests, the pollution of the air, pollution of the rivers and the oceans, overfishing and all this kind of stuff? Where does this come from? It comes from the kind of greediness that comes with ego and the sort of carelessness and indifference that comes with ego. And that's basically what all our social problems are. So all the problems we have with government, with wars, this kind of stuff, it really isn't any different from what happens with the destruction of the environment. Because in the end, what we've got is we've got a very interconnected ecosystem that we're living in, right? It's this ecosystem of humans, which also includes animals, it includes plants, and basically the entire planet as one ecosystem. And as much as we like to think that we're separate from that, because that's fundamentally what the ego thinks that I am here and I am separate and I am more special and more important than everything else out there. And I will kill everything else out there just to preserve what's here. Now, you might say, well, Leo, you know, that's just survival. What's wrong with survival? But see, there is something very wrong with survival. Survival runs amok. And then what happens is that it backfires. So it's the same problem of what's wrong with destroying the environment. Well, there's nothing wrong with cutting down one tree, but when everybody on Earth cuts down one tree, after a while, we run out of trees. You see? And then it becomes a problem. So that's what all these things historically and collectively have been. It's been individual egos that have been trying to get a little bit more for themselves, and then collectively, it produces a very bad environment and produces bad social and political climates that you don't want to live in. And in some extremes, it's very, very bad. Think about Nazi Germany concentration camps. Think about all the horrors created by the Spanish Inquisition and all this kind of stuff. Think about slavery, think about racism, think about various witch trials that have been held throughout history, and all the people who have been shut up and silenced and killed and imprisoned in the name of protecting some kind of collective identity. See, the ego doesn't just happen as an identity for individuals, but then individuals come together, they create collective identities, and those are even more dangerous than individual identities, but they basically function in the same way. So here we can see some very serious consequences for ego, can't we? Now you might think, well, Leo, that's just how history is. That's just how humanity is. This is just how it's supposed to be. This is what life naturally looks like. And what I would suggest is that no, let's question that assumption. What if that's not how it's supposed to be? What if it's that way only because we are letting our egos run amok? And the problem here is that we're sort of shitting where we eat. And if you go to the park and you take a crap in the park one time, that might not be a problem. And you might say, well, so what? Yeah, I took a crap in the park, but you know what, Leo? I don't use the park anyways. I don't care. So what if some old lady's walking by and she sees that turd sitting in the grass? It doesn't matter to me. Okay. But then you know what? Like 10, 20 years later, you have a child of your own and you take him to the park. And then what? Well, if somebody else is behaving along the same lines of reason that you were 10, 20 years ago, and everybody goes take a dump in the park, then that's not going to be very pleasant for you. See? So basically what we're talking about here is sort of karma. What goes around comes around. And I want you to start to notice how this karma is taking place personally for you in your own life, how you're shitting where you eat in your own life, but then how you're also contributing to the collective problem. See? And the important thing here is that you don't just point fingers at others, but that you actually take responsibility for the fact that you are contributing to this problem, and that the solution is not to get other people to stop, but to stop yourself from doing this. And the only way that can happen is by first recognizing, oh yeah, I am doing it. I am doing it. I'm hurting myself, I'm hurting others, and I'm hurting the environment. And that this is a consequence, a direct consequence of the way that I hold my identity. That's where it begins. If you're a student of spiral dynamics, and you've heard me talk about that model elsewhere, I won't cover it here because it's a very deep model, but I just want to point this out for those advanced students, is that with spiral dynamics, you have different stages. You have stage red, blue, orange, green, and so forth. Well, one thing I talked about when I talk about spiral dynamics in other episodes is how the pendulum swings back and forth between the stages. So spiral dynamics is basically how the psyche evolves, both individually and collectively. That's what this model explains. So first, like, you got stage red. Stage red is a very kind of criminal, highly narcissistic, egotistical stage. But then what happens is that as that stage runs its course, the psyche realizes, it becomes self-aware enough to realize that, you know what, being a criminal has its problems. It's not as nice as I thought it was. And the problem is that I'm hurting my loved ones by being a criminal. And also, I'm really shooting myself in the foot by being a criminal. So let me stop being a criminal. And there, the ego kind of sees its own ramifications, and it lets go. And then the pendulum swings towards blue, which is a movement away from ego. And it's a movement towards collective consciousness. But of course, there's problems with blue, because it's very hierarchical and dogmatic and kind of religious. And then the pendulum swings back again to orange. And orange is similar to red, but it's not as bad. So it's, again, egotistical. It's kind of success-oriented. You know, how do I acquire more success and achievement in my life? And you go with that for a while, but then eventually you realize, if I just live my life in a way that I'm only concerned about acquiring the most success for myself personally and maybe for my family, that's still not good enough. I'm still not satisfied because I can still see the consequences. There's still a lot of damage being done to others around me and to the environment. And that damage comes back and hurts me and my loved ones. So that's not sustainable. And then again, there's a shift. And so it kind of goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And the reason that happens is because the ego progressively becomes more and more self-aware of its own backfiring mechanism. So I want you to take note of that and to start to notice this happening in your own life as much as you can. The sooner you can start to recognize this and take responsibility for it, the sooner you can really grow yourself internally and start to escape some of these problems. Denying the problem is only going to make it worse. Seeing it and accepting it and then starting to work with me on it, that's the solution. And now you might say, well, Leo, so what do you want me to do? Do you want me to kill myself? I mean, it sounds like what you're saying here is anti my survival. And that's right. It is anti your survival, but not in the extreme that you might think. So the ego likes to say, well, if you're threatening my survival, fuck you, Leo. I'm not going to listen to you. Why should I? Because after all, you're threatening my survival and my family's survival. No, what I'm telling you is to become more responsible about the way that you survive and to notice how your survival is actually endangering you. You see, when someone becomes obsessed about survival, they can actually kill themselves. And that's the problem. You don't need to kill yourself. That's not the solution here. But what you do need to do is you need to recognize that you are spitting into the wind and that your spit comes back in your face and also hits other people nearby you and also toxifies your environment. That's what we're after here. Now, to be very precise, I want to make sure that you don't confuse what I'm saying here, and that you don't take what I'm saying as something like the ego is inherently absolutely bad and wrong and evil. That's not what I'm saying. When I say the ego is bad, I'm simply saying that it's bad for you. Not that it's absolutely bad. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with it. It's bad in the sense that it creates suffering for you. Now, if you don't like to suffer in your life, then you might want to consider stopping that. But if you're one of those people that does like to suffer, and believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there who do like to suffer, to wallow in their own suffering, by all means, continue to do that. You're free to create suffering, and there's nothing inherently bad about suffering. Other than that, it's not pleasant to you, and it's not pleasant to your loved ones, and it's not pleasant to see other people around you suffer. See? So don't make that mistake. Don't demonize the ego. Just notice how it backfires. This isn't a moral issue. This is more of a physics issue, in that the mechanism is very physical in the way that it operates, just like spitting into the wind. This evolutionary phase that we're going through as a human species, where we are creating collective suffering and damage to the environment, and we are acting in egotistical ways, in some ways, it's a necessary step. Humanity has to go through this step, but it doesn't have to stay there forever. So if there was a point in your life where you need to really look out for your survival and so forth, I get that. That's fine. But don't stay there longer than necessary. Move through that step and then move on to the next step. Because what I talk about in all my content is not how to survive. I'm concerned more about how to thrive, how to achieve your full potential as a human being. In other words, we're talking about fulfillment, true fulfillment and happiness. And one thing you start to realize when you start to study all the psychological stuff that I have studied is you realize there's a very simple formula at work. Here's the formula, is that happiness equals the reciprocal of ego. Reciprocal, if you remember math class, it's like the fraction. So 1 over x, 1 over some variable. So here's a formula for happiness in your life. Happiness equals 1 over ego. And if you remember math class, then you remember that when you have a reciprocal equation like this, that means that if you have a very high ego and it's 1 over the variable, that means your happiness is very low. The higher the ego, the lower the happiness. That's what reciprocal relationships are. And conversely, if you have a very low ego, as ego approaches zero, happiness approaches infinity. That's what happens in a reciprocal relationship. So that's basically what's at play in your life. Now, the question is, how long will it take you? How many decades of your life will it take you to realize that this is the function that is governing your life? Maybe you'll get it today, as I'm speaking right now. But chances are that you're only going to scratch the surface, because you actually need to see it happening. It's not enough to just believe me on this, because you won't be very convinced. It'll be just some intellectual philosophical notion. You got to see it happening. And when you do see that, you sort of unlock the entire secret to all personal development. In a nutshell, all personal development boils down to is becoming more aware of the ego. Becoming so aware of it that eventually it dissolves into zero. And as you do that over the years, dissolving this ego, deconstructing it lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Let's say you start at an ego the size of 1,000,000. Then you reduce it down to 100,000. Then you reduce it down to 10,000, to 1,000, to 100, to 10, to 1, and then approaching zero. The closer you get there, your happiness just exponentially increases more and more and more and more and more. And it's actually This is mind-blowing. It's actually possible to experience moments. You're probably never going to reach a stage where you have zero ego for the rest of your life, but it's possible to have moments in your life where you have zero ego. And those moments are the best times in your entire life. These are the peak experiences. Because literally, when your ego is at zero, happiness is infinite. And you can actually experience moments of infinite happiness. They're profound moments. But it really requires zero ego. And for most people, the idea of zero ego is repugnant. Because, of course, as the ego, when we say ego, we're really talking about you. So zero you, the way you interpret zero me is, oh, shit, no me, no happiness. No, I don't want that. But you got to realize that that's the ego talking. That's not the real you talking. The real you actually can see with its wisdom and its intuition, it can see, like, yeah, this ego, it's getting in my own way. I am getting in my own way. Let me take some steps to reduce that and see how it affects my happiness levels. And sure enough, you go and you try that and you realize, like, oh, yeah, every time I actually reduce my ego, my happiness increases. Oh, that's a pretty amazing discovery. What if we extrapolate that? What would happen if I had zero ego? Could it be that I would have infinite happiness? Is that possible? Could it be that good? And actually, it is that good. But that doesn't mean it's easy to get there. Because, of course, the ego will not go willingly. It will struggle and resist all the way. So to actually start to take action on all this theory that I told you, your assignment for the next week, or maybe make it even your assignment for the next month, however long you want to work on this, is to notice on a very minute-to-minute, daily level when you're suffering, and then to connect that to the ego. Ask yourself, how is my identity producing this suffering that I'm experiencing right now in my life? That's a very powerful question. Extremely powerful. It's not easy to ask that question when you're in the midst of suffering. Because when you're suffering, all you care about is removing the suffering. You don't care about looking at the suffering very carefully and tracking it to its root causes. You just want a quick solution. The problem, though, is that if you just always look for the quick solution, you never get to the root. And so the suffering keeps repeating. So anywhere in your life where you do have repeat suffering, like let's say you keep going to work, and every morning you're at work, it's like, oh, I don't want to start work. I don't want to start work. I don't want to start work. And it's just that way, like every morning for months, for years maybe. And you're sick of that. Well, ask yourself, how is my identity creating this suffering? And be willing to look past just one or two steps of causation. It might be more like 5 or 10 steps of causation for how this actually works. So that's your job, is to figure that stuff out. And the more you can do that and keep track of that and become aware of that, then the more really true deep inner work you're doing. And if you're not doing this, then really you're just changing stuff on the surface. And therefore, you're gonna have all this suffering repeating in your life over and over and over again. And eventually it might build up to the point where you become depressed. Or it creates all sorts of serious dysfunctions in your life. So there's a lot of reasons here to take what I'm saying to heart and to really begin the tough process of introspecting and connecting your suffering to your ego. That's the solution. So go ahead and get started on that. All right, I'm done for now. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. This is my newsletter. There's other stuff there. There's a life purpose course. I have a book list. I have a forum. Go check out the forum. The forum can be a great resource. You know, some people on the forum, they just sit there and just bullshit away. But also, like, I've been surprised to find, like, amazing resources. People give book suggestions, video suggestions, other stuff like that. And, you know, I've learned from the forum. as much as the people that are there. So that can be quite useful for you on this journey. But anyways, you know, stick around, check out the newsletter, stay on track with me on this process. In the future, a lot of the material that I talk about is going to be advanced material about how to reduce and dissolve the ego, different techniques and different methods for becoming aware of the very sneaky ways in which the ego works. See? Because it's not obvious how the ego does these things. If it was obvious, then you probably would stop doing it. So the ego does it in very subtle ways. And that requires explanations, concepts. That's where these videos can be very useful to you. So I hope you stay with me for this journey, and I'll see you soon with more.